You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Today we're going to be talking about a very important subject matter, and that is discernment. We had one of our listeners ask us to talk about this on the show, so we thought that tonight would be a good time for us to get into some scripture and talk about what discernment is and why it's so important in the life of a believer.
You see, discernment is lacking a lot in the church. Because a lot of times when you are just, you know, going to church per se, and you're used to going to this particular church, you relax yourself, and you just accept what's told. Same way with podcasts or anything that you typically listen to, and we have to keep our guard up. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to move us in discernment. We have to listen to what He has to say. And then we need to say, yes, sir. If He says, you need to really look more into this, we need to say, yes, sir, let's look more into it. And you need to listen to Him on that. So today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Scripture, different portions of Scripture, and talk about what discernment is.
And I think a good place to start would be right where Will just mentioned in not believing everything that you hear, or not just taking what someone says for face value. So 1 John 4:1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." We also know that the Word tells us in many places that in the end days, there will be many false prophets, and that their sole purpose is to lead even the elect, if possible, astray. So it's a very important time for us to have a high level of discernment in our walk with the Lord.
And that's anything that we say or anyone says. No one is above God. No one's above God's word. So we need to, you know, when you hear a teaching or anything like that, you need to dig in the Word of God. Don't just take what anyone says at face value. Really dig in. That would be a great time to write down the Scriptures and say, okay, I'm going to check this out. And check it out through the Word. Don't go into a commentary and say, let me check out what Spurgeon has to say, or let me check out what MacArthur has to say, or whatever commentary you want to use. Let the Holy Spirit see what it says. Go in and just read it and read it in context. That's what we're fixing to do over discernment. And this is be a great tool for you to do on anything you hear and on anything that you might read in a blog or a book or whatever it is. You need to always let the Holy Spirit move you and teach you, and let the Holy Word of God comb through what you have listened to or read. So it's the main portion. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to just give you an idea of how we study. And we're going to go over, I think the first portion is going to be Hebrews 5:11-14. Is that right? Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a call to spiritual growth. And I'm going to get Angela to read it. And we're going to break it down. And we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, so it says, "There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong."
Okay, so when we're looking at the book of Hebrews, Who is it written to? It's written to Jewish believers. So whoever you think wrote the book of Hebrews, if you think it was Paul or whoever, you know, it's a big debate on that, and we're not going to get into that. But whoever you think it is, we need to make sure that we're reading the context. And he is making, whoever wrote this is telling them that that they have been believers for a time, and they are still drinking milk. They are not progressed beyond basic understanding of Christianity. And when you are in that level, no matter if you've been, you know, saved for a year or you've been saved for 25 years, if you're still at this level, and many, many American Christians are, that are drinking milk instead of eating solid food, they are very easily led astray and from to false doctrine. They're very easily, you know, because they go off emotions. Don't get me wrong. We have emotions. You know, we can be moved to tears. We can be moved, you know, by prayer. But we don't dictate what the word or what God says through emotions. We take what the word says, and we stand on God's promises. So for us to look at this portion of scripture, we need to really look at where are we at. That's an individual examination. I need to examine, Angela needs to examine herself, and you need to examine yourself. And that's what we're calling everyone to do with this, so that your discernment level will increase when you obey what the Lord is telling you. When the Holy Spirit says, hold up, wait a minute, let's stop, and let's look at what is you just heard, or let's look at what you just read and see if it goes with the whole counsel of God. So when we look at the scripture and we see it, he's saying in verse 12, it says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Okay, let's stop right there. What does that mean? He is not speaking just to pastors. He's not just speaking to elders. He's speaking to Christians, and he's saying that, what does it mean by teaching? You should be discipling people. We all should be discipling people. Doesn't matter your comfort level. That the Holy Spirit don't care about that. What the Holy Spirit cares about is moving you into maturity so that you are useful for the kingdom of God. And so that is what we are here to do. We're not here to stay babies. Just think about it. If your baby stayed a baby, and trust me, we have grandbabies, and we love them at a little bitty, you know, at this age that our grandbaby is at. But we know he's going to grow. We know that whenever we get our new baby girl, she's going to grow. And we want to grow them up in maturity. You know, so you don't want your children or your grandbabies to stay on milk forever. That would be something very wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yet in the church, you know, in the West, we act like that's okay. And like there's nothing more required than just, you know, to be saved and to have, you know, church attendance, and that's it. I mean, that like nothing is required, and that's not what the Word of God says. And actually, Will was talking about, you know, reading this in context, always keeping things in context. So the thought that Paul had, or whoever the writer is of this, of Hebrews, that this thought continues on into chapter 6. The first part of chapter 6, he's still going and discussing about the basic fundamental teachings, you know, of Christ, and how we should be past that. We should be maturing in our walk and in our understanding so that we can continue to move on to further understanding. And so that, like Will said, we can be useful. We can disciple others. We can help train and teach and, you know, welcome new believers into the kingdom of God and walk with them. And then even, you know, people that have been in the faith longer, just walk this journey together and, you know, there's so much that we can gain from one another that really the Western church doesn't put into practice. And it doesn't line up with what we read in the Word. So it's so important to develop a habit or this characteristic of discernment. You know, it comes from the Holy Spirit, and we can grow it the more that we spend time in the Word of God. And like Will said earlier, everything that we hear, everything we have been taught, all of the traditions and customs that we hold to, let's filter those through the Word of God and see why we do some of the things that we do, and see if we should be doing them or not.
Or are they really hindering, you know, your walk with the Lord? Because this is what, whenever we read this portion of Scripture, and it's when we can read a lot more, but this, even just what we see in Hebrews here, you need to have an understanding that if you're sitting in a place of worship somewhere and they are teaching you just basic understanding of your faith, that, you know, how do you get through your job, or, you know, it, or if you're battling, you know, this giant, or you're battling this, you know, whatever the sermon series is over, are you really gaining maturity from these series, or are you just staying at a basic level and you're never actually expanding, you're never being stretched, you're never getting out of your comfort zone outside the four walls to be useful? Because the light of Christ needs to be in the dark world.
Amen.
So if we're not in a dark world, why are we the light? A light needs to be in a dark room or a dark place to light it up.
Mm-hmm.
So we must understand this.
And this is actually a chastisement.
I mean,
this says right here that you're spiritually dull. You don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you should be teaching others, but instead you need someone to teach you again these very basic things. You're like babies. That is definitely, you know, a chastisement. We don't want to be there, right? I mean, we want to be growing in our faith, always moving forward, always seeking what the Lord wants us to do and doing it. Obedience.
Yeah, and the greatest way to know the Word of God is to teach the Word of God, because you dig into it. When I say teach, there are actually people that are gifted teachers, but there's also, every believer is supposed to be teaching the Word of God to some degree, as in discipleship. We should be discipling others. The bringing somebody on Sunday or Wednesday nights is not discipleship. We should be opening our homes up. Every single Christian should be opening their homes up, and what is the gift of hospitality, and to share with others that what the Word of God is telling them and teaching them, maturity. So when we have maturity, we can discern. Just think about it. When you were a teenager, your discernment level in life in general, not talking anything spiritual, just in life in general, was horrible. We all, I'm talking about American teenagers, your discernment in about mature things are completely off. In fact, you go against anything that is mature. But yet, the older you get, you're supposed to move in maturity, but a lot of people don't. But you're supposed to move from a teenage understanding to a young man, young woman understanding, and then you start growing in maturity with family, and you move. And so by the time you're gray-headed, it's wisdom that you have gained in life that you can give to the younger people. We are supposed to be that way in the church. We're not supposed to be 30 years in our salvation and never discipled a soul. I mean, the most we've ever done is hold a door open at the church house. That's not mature, because that person could easily be led astray and be brought away from true biblical understanding of what the Bible says, because they're just holding on to what a particular pastor says. A pastor is there to help guide you. He is not there to read the Bible for you. He's not there to teach. He's there to teach you how to read your Bible, and then you must pick your Bible up and read it. You can't rely on sermon series. You can't rely on anything like that. You have to get into the Word of God, especially in these last days. This is from the Holy Spirit just now. This is powerful. I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
So I'm begging you right now. I'm not telling you not to listen to a pastor. I'm telling you that is not his job. That man's job is not to just hold your hand through your walk. His job is to protect you by training you. Just like a soldier in the military, when he goes through boot camp, that drill instructor's job is not to hold your hand in battle. His job is to teach you how to survive in battle. This is the same way as a pastor should be a shepherd. To protect you is to train you. And so to be in a discerned mindset, to have a discernment, I looked up the word discernment, and I'm going to give you a secular understanding of sermon, what it says in the Oxford Dictionary. It says, the ability to judge well. I'm leaving it at that. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn to judge well.
Yep. Actually, that's a great segue into this last portion of scripture that we wanted to share. This comes out of 2 Timothy 2:15 to 26. It says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. That means we have a part to play. Like Will said, we're not just, you know, sideline Christians sitting on a pew listening and not doing anything with it. Okay, so back to the scripture. It says, be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants.
Mm, that is so good. When you read scripture out loud, when you hear yourself read it, just doing that in the evenings will change everything. I mean, just hearing that just read is so good. It is really, I love it, man. And when you look at this as an approved worker is not a pastor, not a, you know, quote, leader, unquote. You know, it's nothing like that. These are people that are in the body of Christ. We are all called to be an approved worker.
Amen.
We need to understand this, that he's talking about teaching. He's also talking about evangelism. It tells us a lot here in this portion of scripture. I love Timothy. I love 1st and 2nd Timothy. These letters are really, really good. And just like Hebrews, some of this is never preached. Maybe one or two verses are preached in a church setting, because a lot of times people can't really, they don't want to hear this. And we need to hear it. That's why it's here. So let's just look at it real quick. This is when it talks about being a worker, that means we need to grow in maturity and we need to have discernment so that we can be used. This is another portion of scripture that talks about being used. And we have to have a part in this. We don't just say a prayer, go to church, and then live your life any way you want. This is a changed heart. This is a person that is faithful to Jesus, and the cause of what Jesus came to do is to grow the kingdom of God. So we are part of this. We are continuing the work of Jesus. When he left, we are picking up his ministry where he left off. So we are picking this up. We're moving forward into growing the kingdom of God. And the only way to do that is to grow in your faith and to have really good discernment. And so when we look at this, it says, it talks about a couple of people leaving the path of truth. It's talking about people leaving the faith. We're not going to get into the doctrine of once saved, always saved today. But this is a portion of scripture that goes against this. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. We believe that you continue in your faith. But yet, this shows that we have a part to play in our sanctification. Mm-hmm. Our sanctification is us walking and growing. We have to be willing disciples of Jesus. We got to sit at his feet and listen to the Holy Spirit move us. And we must say, yes, sir. We don't go, Holy Spirit, now you're convicting me to go do this over here. I don't want to do this. So I'm just going to sit back and maybe somebody else will approach that person. We cannot tell God that. The Holy Spirit is God. We must say, yes, sir, when he says, move it. Or he might say, don't listen to this. He might say, don't listen to that. That is wrong. Go back into the Word and I will show you. And we must say, yes, sir. So when we look at this, it's telling us, and this is pretty amazing. He tells us, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faith, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. All of that was moving. We must move in that by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, he tells us exactly how we can keep ourselves pure and be useful and the things that we need to stay away from. So, you know, even continuing on, he says not to get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only starts fights. He tells us what a servant of the Lord must look like. And again, this also talks about being able to teach. I think the other portion that we just read talked about being able to teach, you know, and how that is something, like you said, that, you know, it's not just for certain people. It's not, we don't have a hierarchy. Well, we do, but it shouldn't be that way. That's not what we read in the Bible. But in the institutionalized church, we have, you know, a hierarchy system where you've got one man at the top, and then
it branches off.
You know, you've got the people who are under him, maybe the church staff or whatever, and then, you know, everyone else. That is not what we see in the Bible. The Word tells us we have one head, and that is Jesus Christ. The rest of us are all on level playing field. So you don't have to have a seminary degree. The best thing that you can have to understand the Word of God is the Spirit of God. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And that means that we're all equal. We're all able to understand and rightly divide the Word of truth. And yeah, that is our responsibility as believers. And like Will said, we grow. It's a process. When we first come to faith, we don't understand. We don't have, you know, we're babies on milk, and we're expected to be that way. But God also expects us to be in these developmental stages only for a period of time. We should be continually moving and growing just like a baby does. You know, a baby grows into a child, then, you know, a teen, and then an adult. I mean, there are stages like that where we will progress in our walk as well. And the awesome thing is that the Holy Spirit is there all along the way. He is the one who is, you know, convicting us of things so that we can cut those things out of our life, you know, changing us and allowing us, encouraging us, teaching us, all of the things. The Holy Spirit plays such a vital role in our walk, so we have to be connected to Him. And that's also another thing that we've seen in the institutionalized church is there are a lot of different sects, I guess you would say, denominations, or, you know, different groups of people who honestly cut the work of the Holy Spirit out or minimize Him. And we can't do that. They want to only have the Word of God and, you know, take anything spiritual or supernatural, I guess you would say, out of the equation. Well, I mean, that you're not doing yourself any favors by doing that, because you need the full work of the Trinity in your life. You need the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's a vital part. He is our advocate that Jesus gave to us when He left this earth. And so, you know, we can't walk a Christian walk, a true born-again Christian walk, without the Holy Spirit.
He's our helper. And what has happened is that when you take, you know, and you look at the Trinity of a lot of these groups or denominations, you got Father, Son, Bible. And they and trust me, I love my Bible. I love the Word of God. But without the Holy Spirit, it's just words. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God is living and active. And yes, but for you to really understand it, you have to have the Holy Spirit living in you. And you got to live by what the Holy Spirit moves you to do. So whenever you cut out the Holy Spirit and you don't want anything supernatural, just think about a human body. When the spirit of a person leaves the body when they die, it's a corpse. It's dead. It doesn't move. And we need to make sure that we have a spirit-filled life that we can. That's the only way that we're going to be bold in our faith, is let the Holy Spirit move us in our faith. Amen. So when we look at this, I mean, you need to have a really good understanding of what we're saying. We're saying that discernment, if you're not listening, this is really big right here. This through the whole teaching, this is really big. I want you to listen. If we argue with a portion of Scripture because we don't like it, or if we argue with something that we skip over, it's usually because there's some sin in your life that you don't really want to be convicted of, or you're scared to that you might lose it because you're still in love with a portion of sin that's in your life. Jesus doesn't want 90% of you. He wants 100% of you. Yes, we will fail. Yes, it's a process. Just think about a baby learning to walk. Our grandbaby is learning to walk. He falls and he has cuts and bruises and bloody nose and all kind of stuff that we've seen. But the more he walks, the less he will fall. Mm-hmm. Just think about right now. Just think about when you are walking outside. If you're walking on a normal path that you know, you're probably not going to fall. But when you walk on a new path and you don't know it, you might trip because you might not see that root or something there, and you might trip and fall and you get right back up. But the next time you walk over that, you will know it's there and you won't trip. So the idea of it is that we must move where the Holy Spirit tells us. And that might be in a dark area, because He wants us in a dark area. He doesn't want us just to hover underneath where it's lit up.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.